You're watching Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger hanging out with you on this Wednesday night. College football season is technically over, but the rivalry never sleeps, TJ.
At least for a couple more episodes. We're gonna take our break here after February, but
yeah, we're gonna be sick of seeing your face, but
that's not even true. But yeah, so Wednesday night. We'll do this a couple more times. We have planned out what we'll do through the rest of February, and then we'll get out of here. We'll start back up in August. It's like a 6 month on, 6 month off. It's better that way. The off season
is better that way. There's just not that much that goes on. Well, I'll do a pop up show if something random happens. But
yeah, maybe we'll do a pop up show on a random Thursday night in April. So before we get to that, let me give a shout out to our friends over at Brunt Insurance. We appreciate Greg and his team. If you need insurance, if there's anything that you have that isn't insured, make sure you give Greg a call. But if you want to just save a little bit of money, home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever you have, give Greg and the team a call, 954-589-2204. Greg Brunt, bruntinsurance.com. He will chat with you about college football if you give him a call. So call them when you listen to this tomorrow. Call him on your way to work. Call him on the way home. Let Greg and the team get you taken care of. Let's talk, Allie, a little bit. We were talking off air, and this is where we'll kind of start tonight. Hey, we see this every week, but let's really make this a shorter episode. So,
and we'll see.
So, Florida, for the second year in a row, has chosen to have their spring game on a Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. A little bit different. We were talking last year they did this. It was Easter weekend, so maybe mm-hmm. it was a little bit – I don't know. Nobody seemed to be very happy about it. It does make things difficult on, you know, fans that want to get there, especially yeah. fans that want to take their kids. I know a lot of people like taking their kids to spring games because mm-hmm. it is a little bit lower intensity. They're not usually sold out, not as big of a crowd, a little bit more chill atmosphere, not as much intensity. You know, you're not like hanging on every play like you would be in the fall.
You didn't spend $200 to take your child to yeah. like chase Albert around the stands or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like you can leave if your kid isn't having fun. No big There's deal. No stress. Yeah.
So that becomes tough on Thursday nights and it becomes tough for families to make it. People have work. People have school. There's usually a lot of stuff going on around that time. So Florida chooses to have the spring game on Thursday night again. I've talked to some people and kind of understand some reasons for that, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But what are your thoughts on that? What do you think about the Thursday night spring game?
So we went to the spring game last year. We took Hadley Hayden and Emerson and Alexandra, and our initial plan was just to go up to tailgate because our friend Johnny Townsend, who was a punter after Eric, was holding a charity tailgate beforehand. So we wanted to go support him. There was going to be a bunch of former players there. And then basically we were like, maybe we'll go in for a little bit. Maybe we won't. We ended up going in. We ended up staying for the whole game, which I didn't think was going to happen. We watched in the sidelines. The kids had a good time. There was a great turnout and there was a great atmosphere and crowd last year. I was not pumped about the Thursday night when they announced it last year. I'm even less pumped about them announcing it this year. I'll tell you why. Last year, you mentioned that it was Easter weekend, which it was. So I can see and I can buy the argument of, okay, these high school players don't have school on Friday. So they want to take in a couple spring games. Maybe you wouldn't beat them head to head with Alabama to go to your spring game if you both have your game on a Saturday, but you're choosing to do it Thursday night. It's going to be on television. There's no school the next day. These kids are going to come down, go to this game, and then hop in the car and go to Athens or go to Tuscaloosa or something like that. I can wrap my head around that, even though I still don't love a Thursday night fan or Thursday night game for a fan perspective, right? Makes a lot less sense to me because it's not Easter weekend, which means these kids have school the next day. So what you're now, so I don't, are these kids likely to go to Gainesville like on Thursday? So depending on where they're coming from, do they go to school Thursday at all, depending on how far Gainesville is from their house, right? So they have school Thursday. Can they make it to Gainesville in time? And are they willing to skip school the next day to then on Saturday go to Tuscaloosa or go to Athens or something? In my mind, I don't know that there's any kid that's more likely that is going to do that. You know, I don't know that I think you're roping anybody in that way, but I think what you are doing is alienating a fan base whose support you need more this year than last year, right? Like, everybody's going to blindly support a new coach. That is part of being a fan, right? You're excited. Florida fans wanted Dan Mullen gone. So even more so, they should be supporting this new guy that came in. And Napier did have a great crowd last spring game. I think this year, you know, with Florida not having that great of a season, whether or not, you know, expected, unexpected, fans have irrational, you know, expectations, I think there's more pressure on him this year. And fans are not pumped at some of the stuff they saw last year. And they're not pumped that there wasn't a whole lot of changes made going into this year, at least schematically and coach-wise and things like that. So I think it's kind of, like not the most fan-friendly choice to stick it on Thursday nights again. I understand that he's going to live and die by the recruits that he brings in, right? So recruiting has to be his number one. I just don't know if I think this makes sense from a recruiting standpoint. When we were talking off air, you were saying something about, you know, one of the reasons being Thursday night, all eyes on Florida. But Florida's not a little brother. This is not a group of five. This is not a group of five team. We don't need to move to a Thursday night so that we don't compete. We've always competed. Like, that's fine. And nobody's tuning in to anybody else's spring game. I'm not tuning in to Florida State's spring game. You're not tuning in to Florida's. I'm not watching Georgia's. I'm not watching Alabama's. So it doesn't really matter, right? Like, the recruits in the stands matter. The fans in the stands matter. The Gator fans that will tune in and watch on TV matter. But outside of that, nobody else cares. And that's the same for every program across the country. So that's not a knock on Florida. Nobody
I'll watch you guys. I'll watch you guys. I want to see Graham Mertz.
Well, great. But you're going to be the lone person that does.
Nobody oh, no. Cares. We'll all watch it.
Nobody cares about anybody else's spring game. That's just not – that's not how it works. So I just don't know if the insult to fans is worth whatever perceived benefit there is with recruits, because I don't know that I believe there is an actual benefit with recruits for it.
Yeah, we talked about this, and I guess what I'd be curious on, there are you mentioned an article that had, like, you know, X percentage of you know, the kids that were at the spring game ended up signing with Florida or committed for whatever the number is there. But I'd wonder how that compares to other schools that just hold the traditional Saturday game. I'd love to know how that compares to Florida's, you know, last 3 to 5 years before.
Because, right. I mean, Florida's never held it on anything but
So, Saturday. And I'd love to know, well, this is what I think would be most important, right? Because my initial reaction is, Billy, this is going to sound like a troll, but it really isn't. Tagline is scared money don't make money, and you're literally having a spring game on a Thursday because you're scared that you can't beat out Georgia or Alabama or LSU or whoever this is for these recruits and getting them to visit,
right.
To me, that sounds like scared money. And I'm not trying to be funny, but, right. Like, can you see how that – I mean, I think that's pretty – I don't think that's, like, too wild of me to think. And so that's the other side of things is if you – say you do get kids on campus on Thursday because they're open, they're free – and they don't mind taking the day off of school. No big deal. I mean, kids skip school anyway, right? Like, that, I don't think that's that big of a deal. So say you do get kids on campus Thursday night. They come to your game. And then they immediately on Friday morning leave for Athens and Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge and College Station and wherever else. What percentage of those kids that left immediately after the game to visit somewhere else, what percentage of those kids did Florida come? Because I can't imagine it's that high. Right?
Like, yeah, I don't know off the top of my head.
If kids stuck around for the weekend and used a visit weekend there and stayed for 2 days, I'd imagine those kids were the ones that were more likely to sign. But those
kids would have taken the visit if it was on Saturday.
Right, they would have been there anyway.
And so, like, so it being on Thursday, I think it's a difference net for those kids.
If there were kids that maybe Alabama's class filled up and maybe there were kids that ended up leaving and going to Tuscaloosa and still signing with Florida. I'm not saying there weren't any.
Right.
Somebody will do the research and tell me. That'd be great to see. But if a kid is using you as a stopover and is just going to Athens right after anyway, or just going to Tuscaloosa right after anyway, I mean, then I don't think it matters, right? You've got to, and like you said, Florida is not South Carolina. This is a South Carolina move to me. This is a Kentucky move to me. This is a Missouri move. Florida
this is a group of five. It feels very group of five.
Well, yeah, I mean, or just like lower tier. Like this is a Louisville type move, right? Like, hey, we're never going to beat up Florida State and Clemson and Miami for these recruits. Like, let's see if we can get them on a Thursday night and show them a good time. Like, that's what this feels like to me. And it doesn't. It feels gimmicky. You know, like when you played in high school and you play like a boxing one-on-one, you know, on one player because like nobody else can hit a shot. Like that's what this feels like. A little bit gimmicky, right? Like you can't go head-to-head. You're worried about the recruiting. And I mean, that's why Florida's doing this.
Think about how many Florida fans packed the stands Urban Meyer's first game. I want to say it was 65,000. I mean, it was a massive number in the swamp. Dan Mullen's first game had a very high attendance. Like this is – Florida fans generally show up for spring games in large numbers. You've got to think that atmosphere means something for recruits that are there too. Now I understand the draw of a night crowd, right? I understand showing recruits
but
what it's like
Saturday
at a
night.
Night game, but you could do it on, that was what I'm going to go into, but you could do that Saturday night. If you want the fireworks to go off and you want the real feel of Saturday night in the swamp, which is honestly, in my opinion, like no place else in college football. Like I'm all for showing that to recruits, but it should be on a Saturday night. I think your game day atmosphere all around is going to be better. Your fans are going to be happy. You can have your sidelines and your stands packed with former players, which is something that should be an attractive move for the team to do, for recruits to see, for recruits' families to see. So, I mean, I don't love this. And, you know, I've seen on Twitter, I feel like there's two groups, right? There's some people that are like, well, I work and I have little kids and this sucks because I would have taken them otherwise. And I want my child to see a game in the swamp and blah, blah, blah. And this doesn't work out for me. And then there's people that are like, trust the process. Why are you questioning? This is what we need to do. And, I can't get behind that. Like, listen, Billy Napier's our guy. I'm pumped about it. I hope he has a freaking phenomenal season. I hope the Gators way overperform. I hope he wins the number one client signing class in 2023. Like all the things. I hope he brings them all. But it doesn't mean you have to find every decision the right one. And I think this is a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's, I don't know. Like, I think he has done some things really, really well. My biggest takeaway from this is that I don't think it's some great unless Nick or one of these people writes an article and it shows TJ, eight kids left from Gainesville,
right,
and they went to those Tallahassee, Tuscaloosa, just anywhere, right? Like eight of these kids went to places that Florida's competing with and they still signed with Florida.
Right.
I think at that point, I'd say like, well, that's pretty good. Like it was good to get him in because then you wouldn't have got him in. But here's the big thing. You know, Florida signed what, 25 kids, 24 kids. Mm. How many of those kids sign with Florida no matter when their spring game is? Probably 23, 24. Like this might have moved the needle on like, I mean, I know that we talked about this before. Jaden Rashada wasn't there in the spring game. And I know he didn't end up in UF's class, but like he signed. Like for all intents and purposes, like you have got him and just kind of got unlucky with how it worked out. So I don't know. I don't think it helps recruiting. I don't think it moves the needle that much in recruiting. And all it does is piss off your fan base and your former players.
Right.
Like I think that like you're trying to win a game on your right hand, willingly losing the game in your left hand, and the spring game on Thursday doesn't really help you win or lose.
For Billy Napier, you know, like I said earlier, last year, everybody was super pumped to see it. It's the new coach. They want to see what he can do. The leash every season after that gets shorter. And Florida fans have an attention span that is about, 3 inches long. So they are going to be very forgiving for a very short window of time. And this just seems like a bad PR move from that standpoint. Like you need your fan base to absolutely love you, so that there's a little bit of forgiveness in there if the season doesn't play out the way that they want it to. This fan base, if this team goes 6-6 again next year, this fan base will start to get loud. I don't think that's fair. I think Napier should at the very least get 4 years, and he's not getting fired after 2 years no matter what, unless there's some sort of scandal that happens, which I totally don't see, as the case. But that doesn't mean that, like, the boo birds don't come out. That doesn't mean that tensions don't get high and that fans don't get, antsy. So buy all the goodwill you can while you can, because you may end up needing it down the road.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't love this. I mean, if I was a Florida fan, I certainly wouldn't love it. Like, yeah. I'm excited to go up. Like, if Florida, I mean, it's a little bit farther. So, Tallahassee's 2 more hours. So, it's 4 more hours round trip of driving. But, man, if this was on a Thursday night, like, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, we probably won't go this year. Like, last year, we really wanted to show support. Like, I do think it's super important for former players to make new coaches feel welcome, support them in this process. If it was on Saturday, we would be there 100% for
sure.
I just don't know. I don't remember the number, but it felt very, very good. It felt loud. It was a good atmosphere. I remember specifically being like, man, I'm kind of impressed at what this looks like, especially on a Thursday night. And it was a great atmosphere. I just can't imagine that it comes close to that for multiple reasons. One, we're coming off a 6-6 season, and this is not his first year. And then two, there is school the next day. There was not a school in the state of Florida who had school on Friday. Yeah. So it was a weekend. It's the same as taking your kids to a Friday night high school football game or something. It was, for all intents and purposes, the weekend. So if you were going to be willing to take your kid to a night game on Saturday, you're going to be willing to take them to a night game on Thursday when there's no school the next day.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
I don't think that'll be the same this year.
Yeah. Like you said, coming off of a tough season, I wonder what the students do, right? Like, on a Thursday night,
students will come, but I would think
for about a half and then go drink. It's probably what ends up happening.
I think UF students, and honestly, maybe that's the little like crapshoot, right? Like, there's a chance that there were less students at the spring game last year than normal because they didn't have school the next day and it was a holiday weekend and they, in theory, could travel home. Whereas this year, they will have classes the next day. There's no, reason necessarily to go home for that weekend or whatever. So maybe there's more students, but I don't know that more students but less alumni is a decent trade-off if they're only going to stay for 17 minutes.
Yeah. So we'll see. It'll be interesting if they keep doing it on Thursday. I hope they don't. Yeah.
If they want to send me a survey, I'll let you know.
Be glad to answer that. All right, yeah. Super Bowl this weekend. Do you care who wins?
I do, but for personal reasons. I would never care, except the punter for the Chiefs is a family friend of ours.
So
that's the only reason I care.
Okay, well, shocker here. I disagree with you. I think I kind of want the Eagles to win. Just something different. I'm not. I like Patrick Mahomes, though. So yeah. I don't know, a lot of people hate him just because they hate greatness. I don't.
His wife's annoying, but.
I don't hate – yeah, I don't really follow her. So people always say that.
I don't actually follow her either. Just the few things I've seen have been annoying, but I don't follow her on anything.
But I like him.
Yeah, he's an incredible player.
There's a few FSU players on both teams. So, like, that's kind of,
Yeah, there's several Gators on both teams.
Cool. But the Eagles are just something new. Like, I feel like the Chiefs have been there a million times. So,
I love Jalen Hurts.
Did you see what Saban said?
What did he say?
He said,
about how he wanted to go to Miami.
Miami or Maryland. Yeah. And he was like, no.
Oklahoma is the place for you.
And he was right. Miami would have ruined his career because Miami sucks. And they ruin everyone's career.
Yep.
So Miami would have been like Billy Napier with Anthony Richardson. Like, they would have just totally ruined it.
No, probably not, because Anthony Richardson's still probably going first round. So it probably wouldn't be the same.
So, but I do like Hurts. I do think it's really, really cool. He was a great teammate and did a great job when he got replaced and went on and was still really successful, stayed in there that next year. I think he's just a great story. It was cool to see Saban. Some people leave and some people transfer out for really good reasons, I think. Mm-hmm. And some people transfer out for not so good reasons. Like, they kind of get told, like, hey, dog, we want you on this team anymore. Like, get out.
Sure. So, well, there's also people that transfer because they think the grass is greener or it's not me, it's them. So I just need to get to a place where they, realize my greatness. And those are generally not the people that.
Yeah. Florida State had a running back Florida State had a running back this year, Trayshawn Ward, who was a walk-on a couple of years ago and rose up to be the number one running back going into this season. He started this year. He got hurt, and that's when Trey Benson kind of emerged and like led the team in rushing and led the country in broken tackles and really just kind of went off the second half of the year. And Florida State's got a pretty full running back room. And so, like, they helped Trayshawn Ward, like, find a new spot. Like, they were very congratulatory. And Mike, like, when he quoted, like, going into the portal and stuff, like, Mike Norvell was like, this is a, you know, like, how many coaches do you see do this? Like, he quoted him going into the portal saying, like, somebody's going to get an absolute dog here. And, like, they did not – I mean, they didn't want to lose him. But they also understood like he was a number one running back, and they want like, and that's really what the Hurts thing reminds me of, right? Like, Saban knew what was best for him, knew that he needed to go on somewhere else and shine, and it's cool that he's now in a Super Bowl and 60 minutes away from winning. So I wouldn't be upset either way this game goes.
Yeah. So by the way, I just for 1 second go back to the spring game for 1 second. I just looked something up. Florida's attendance was 45,000 in the spring game last year, and they had 317. I mean, it was.
That might have been paid attendance. I think you guys did paid attendance.
I don't think they did paid attendance last year, but 317 recruits at the game, which everything I'm pulling up right now says is a lot more than normal, but it doesn't say what the average is that they're comparing that to. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, 317 players is not nothing, and it did, you know, it did, it felt the energy was great, but anyway, for just points of reference going back, but, Tommy Townsend, punter for the Chiefs. It's why we're rooting for the Chiefs in our house. He's a friend of ours, but I think the Jalen Hurts story is so cool. I love that Saban is willing to kind of give us the dirt on that. I think it's hilarious, and I'm sure it's going to now be used to negatively recruit Miami by lots of programs, which I also find amusing. Speaking of
that,
well,
did you see that Miami coach that the Alabama commit was there, you know, visiting Miami, or, you know, probably came with his team. I'm sure he wasn't just visiting Miami on his own, but like he was there, and the one of the coaches said something like, you know, this is Miami. You're going to have things to do every single night. This isn't like Tuscaloosa, right? Like you're coming here for more than just football, which if that's your case, then you probably shouldn't be going for football, but whatever. Like I get that's their sales.
Right.
And then like 2 days later, their defensive coordinator, like literally got poached by Alabama.
Tuscaloosa.
Amazing. Hilariously ironic.
An amazing troll. And here's the thing, like every recruiting trip to any college you go to, they're trying to sell you on the college atmosphere that's there as well, right? Obviously football is 1A, but they're trying to also say, look at this overall experience that you're going to have while you're here. And I get that, but I saw clips from that. And I just think that like, if you're trying to sell the big city you're in over the football program and the facilities, you've already lost, right? Like, cause if you're talking to a recruit and they're any of these recruits' goals, which should be all of these guys, is, you know, what the program is going to do for you developmentally, what the facilities look like, what the opportunities within the program are that you're going to have. I just can't imagine not paying attention to those three things because you have the opportunity to go out on South Beach. Like it just, I don't know. And the athletes that does slay, are those the type of athletes you want on your team? Are those the type of athletes that you're going to have success with? Like that doesn't compute for me.
Yeah. I think if two programs were very similar, right. Mm-hmm. And you had, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to turn around and contradict it at the end. Mm-hmm. But if two programs are really similar, like say Miami and Florida were in the same spot, right? Which maybe they are, right? Like both.
Those are Eric's two final choices.
If two programs, whether they're both on the mountain or both, you know, sucking right now, right? Like both of them had pretty similar years this year, 5-7, 6-7, whatever. If two programs, if you were a recruit and you felt like both programs presented you the same exact opportunity for winning and development, right? If you and maybe NIL too, right? Like say it was all around the same, right?
That's
like,
equal. Okay.
If everything's equal and you're more of a city guy, you're probably going to pick Miami.
Yeah.
And if everything's equal and you're more of like a country, like you were raised in South Georgia, you're probably going to pick Gainesville. Like that, like it just is what it is. And so like if two programs are equal, I don't think that's a bad argument. I don't think saying come to Miami nightlife. But, it's where all the stars are.
But
if
the argument was against Miami, Tuscaloosa, and that's
right. But the problem is the programs aren't equal. Like no, Alabama is so much farther ahead.
Who's going to develop you more? Whose facilities are better? Who are you going to get better exposure from? All of those things are tipped in one way.
So nobody could really compete with Alabama. But like, let's say it was like 2 years from now, and Lincoln Riley really has USC rolling. Then I think that's where you make that argument. You say like, "Hey, do you want to be?" No part of me thinks that USC will be anywhere close to Alabama in 2 years. But for example, kind of like the for example, if they had say they won the next two, okay, well then they'd be a premier program, right? And then I think you could say, "Hey, do you want to be in the middle of Tuscaloosa, or do you want to be in Southern California?"
Miami has never even won a conference championship in a conference that was designed to set them up to play in a conference championship every single year. Like Miami's opinion of themselves is so overinflated at this point in time. Like they have literally not ever done anything since joining the ACC.
Yeah, I mean,
ended up with a Florida State-Miami conference title game, which was literally what they were rooting for when that conference was designed. Never even happened.
We've not been good at it lately, but we did hold up our end of the bargain for that for quite a while.
And this is not a knock on Florida State. This is Miami has so far underachieved the past 20 years. I don't even know how, like, I don't know who they literally can say, "Oh, we're equal with them with all these things, so pick our better city." Because it's not the top dogs in their own conference. It's not.
Well, I think, I mean, and not to give them like
six not in to the give them an SEC.
Out, not to give them an out or credit or anything like that. But I think that is the only thing they can sell. Because they don't have anything else to be able to sell.
Right. You're not selling your facilities. You're not selling your wins. You're not selling. I mean, you're selling your NIL. You're selling your phantom penny stocks.
Florida State. Oh, actually, let's skip this. We'll talk about that next week. Brady retired. Did you feel bad about that?
I think the hardest thing for professional athletes is to know when to hang it up, right? Like Brady should have just hung it up last year. He lost his wife and he had a terrible season over not being willing to hang it up. I guess he's 45 and he can still sling it. So I can see the draw there to, you know, play as long as you feel physically capable of. But I think what we saw this season was, you know, a downgrade compared to any other season that he has ever played. I think it was time. I thought his video was sweet. It was short to the point. I think you can tell he loves this game. But, you know, I'm glad we got to witness this. You know, I think that like it was a very cool moment in time to watch his career. And it was time to ride off into the sunset there. And then we'll get to watch him, you know, next year on Fox for bajillions of dollars call games.
I'm excited for AR to get drafted to the Bucks. I saw a mock draft with that. So gotta be fun.
I'm excited for Trask time in Gainesville. I mean, in Tampa. I'm excited to see.
You think he plays?
I do. I'm excited to see what Kyle Trask can do and what what'd you say it again?
If they start Kyle Trask, they're tanking for Caleb Williams.
Does it hurt your heart to have your NFL team be quarterbacked by a Gator? Does that hurt you?
No, I need it. I'm for it. I hope they drafted Anthony Richardson is what I hope. But yeah, I don't know if they should go with Trask or not. I mean, he wasn't even able to get to the backup position on the depth chart. So if they want to tank, it's probably good, but I don't know.
We're going to see what he got to learn sitting behind Brady.
Did you see LeBron? Pat, we'll do this and then we'll get out of here. Did you see LeBron pass Kareem last night?
I did. I saw that. Very, very cool. Did you see the video of Michael Jordan, like next to LeBron James, the two moments in time where they
kind of the same shot,
And then, but you see, like, obviously today's shot, the shot with LeBron, everybody's got their phone out videoing. And in Michael's, they're obviously cell phones weren't, you know, prevalent, weren't a thing. So everybody's just kind of taking in the moment. It's such an interesting like juxtaposition of like where we are in this moment in time.
Yeah, it is wild too. And you know what I've stopped, not that like, oh, I'm so great about this, but I've stopped filming big plays on my phone at games or like big moments.
Just gonna take that in.
No, I wish that that was my mindset. Like I'm so like in the moment, but it's really just more because first of all, I never go back and look at them on my phone.
Right. Like, so then you didn't actually watch it live you have it on your phone.
I'd rather watch it on the 4K highlights that ESPN puts out, you know, like so I'm never going to be like, oh man, remember when Jordan ran it against Florida? Like, let me go look at it on my phone. No, I'm just going to pull up on YouTube. Second, as good as the phone quality is on these phones, and I sat on the 50-yard line for the Florida State game, like 15 rows up, you're still too far away to get like really good. Like I had nominal seats and you're still like way too far away.
Yeah.
So I've stopped doing it. Now I realize those people were like down in the front row and stuff, but again, their picture is still not as good as the one that like ESPN took or whatever. So
I
stopped doing it. Pretty crazy though. Like,
kind of cool that his kids got to take it in though. Like, what a cool moment.
It was neat.
What a cool moment for your kids.
Yeah, 20 plus years, and like you said, a lot of athletes don't know when to hang it up. I thought Kobe did a pretty decent job of that, like kind of going out. I thought that's something that Michael didn't do a good job of.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
And I do think LeBron will know when it's time.
He said he wants to play one season with Bronny, is what I saw.
What year is he? Like, how old is that? Like, when is
I want to say maybe he's a junior in high school. I would have to look. Like, it's not too far away. He's 18? Maybe he's a sophomore. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a possibility. It's not out of the realm of possibilities, but I will say, and I'm not a massive LeBron James fan. I'm not a fan, but I'm just, you know, the fact that his personal life is almost never discussed, I think is one of his very greatest feats, right? Like, this is not somebody that is scandal ridden. This is not somebody that ever brings attention really to themselves outside of what they do in basketball. I mean, obviously he's had some controversial comments maybe in press conferences about things that go on in the world and things like that, but like personal life, this is not the person that fights with his wife and it gets on camera, or cheats on his wife, or, you know, fights with his friends, or is out in clubs and people catch him, you know, stumbling out or things like that. And I mean, to do that in the spotlight for 20 years and there to be basically nothing negative that anybody can say about what you do in your personal life is probably the most impressive thing that he's done in his career.
Yeah, a lot of people don't really care about being role models, right? Like Charles Barkley said that, like, I'm not a role model, I'm just a basketball player.
Right.
I do think that LeBron is one of the, you know, again, people make mistakes and stuff happens, but like, you know, married to the same woman forever, no controversy.
Good dad. The controversial thing
he
ever did
was when he like decided to go to Miami, right? Like, it was just like, all right, well, whatever.
Right. You know? I mean, like, but if that's the most controversial thing you've ever done, like, that's pretty incredible, especially for the large window of time, right? Like, the average professional sports career is something like 2.3 years, like something ridiculous. The fact that he's been around 20 years and has been completely scandal free for that period of time really just means he takes this job seriously and he's just a good guy off the field. I mean off the court. I really do think that maybe is the most impressive thing about him, and he has a litany of really impressive things on his resume.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. And I was not a huge LeBron fan, and then like either his last year or second to last year in Cleveland, I really started to like him. I think when he turned it around and beat the Warriors after they were down by three games to one, I was just like, man, I think I finally just stopped like being a hater and just like enjoying it. Like, he's just great. Yeah. I just enjoyed it. So then he went out to LA and that kind of like sealed it there. But it was fun. It was cool. It was neat to see. So just kind of one of those cool sports moments in time.
When a sports moment happens, I look back and I can think about sports moments in my life that I witnessed and where I was when it happened and who I talked to. Like most of the time it's me talking to my dad right after something like this happens, or, you know, turning to Eric or comment. And it's weird because I feel like we almost like measure moments in time in our life by like these sports moments. And this is one we'll remember. Like we will at some point tell our kids about when we watched this happen, or our grandkids or whatever. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. One of those neat, neat moments. So, all right. I don't have much else. We really did do a shorter episode tonight. So look at that.
Look at us.
We'll be back next week and then the week after, and then we're taking a little break. We'll be back maybe for a pop-up here or there, but probably closer to August. Maybe we'll do something, you know, an episode or two in the spring. We'll see. But again, appreciate Brunt Insurance for all their support this season. We'll be back next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll figure it out. Actually, Tuesday is Valentine's Day, so I probably won't
spend it. Yeah, so not Tuesday. Wednesday. Yeah, no offense, but I don't want to spend Valentine's Day with you.
Yeah, I'd much rather spend on the couch just watching TV. Like, I'm probably going to get and take out. Are you guys going out?
No, I'm sure we're not. I think we have baseball practice.
It's hard when you have 17 kids between the two of us. So
it's hard when there's a lot of kids in and baseball just started this week. So now we currently have gymnastics, soccer, and baseball. This is like the 3-week hell where they all overlap and then soccer falls off. And so life gets a little bit easier again. But Eric will be at baseball practice with 12, 7 and 8 year olds on Valentine's Day. So then I'll be home alone putting the littler ones to bed and probably fall asleep watching some rerun of some TV show we'd seen 17 times.
Maybe the Thursday night spring game from last year. So, all right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button and subscribe to the channel if you haven't. Talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.
Go Gators.